Hey, good evening, Teach Better family. It is Sunday, May 14th, and this is Brad Hughes with you at the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up, streaming exclusively in our teachbettergroup.com, Teach Better Group on Facebook. We hope you are getting ready for a wonderful week ahead in education, no matter what your important role may be. If you're joining us live tonight, let me know who you are, where you are. Pop into the comments. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to connect with you tonight to help you get ready for your week ahead, to soothe the Sunday scaries of the coming up for you, to dive into some discussion, some conversation with you, and to get you set for a great Sunday evening and a wonderful week ahead. We'll be right back in 17 seconds or less. Good evening. Welcome, everyone. You're with the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up. It's Brad Hughes from the Teach Better team welcoming you into our space. And if you're joining us live tonight on Facebook in our Teach Better Facebook group, let me know where you're tuning in from. Who are you? Where are you? What's your important role in education? And what are you looking forward to this week? If you are joining me tonight, you might be facing 1 or 2 weeks left in your school district before the end of the summer. You might have a number of weeks to get ready for the end of the year. And this week, this month, here in the Teach Better family, we've been focusing on ending the year strong. So I'd love to know, how are you looking forward to ending the year strong? And what does ending the year strong mean for you? Let's talk about your weekend. How was it? Had a great weekend, beautiful, warm and sunny weather here in Southern Ontario. Had an opportunity to open up our trailer. We have an RV, which is quite close to Lake Huron here in Southern Ontario. Beautiful weather for opening it up. Lovely walks. Wonderful to reconnect with trailer friends and neighbors who are coming up for the season. And that continues to be a wonderful opportunity for my family to spend weekends away. Just a change of pace, a change of scenery, and let's face it, in busy times, we all need things and people and places to look forward to. Really glad to have a guest with us tonight, and we absolutely need a dose of family before the week, and love to know who you are and where you are. If you're tuning us in live here, let me know where you are joining me from, and we can keep the conversation going. Thank you. So I'm looking forward to a wonderful week ahead as well. I hope you are too. Here at Teach Better, we've been focusing on ending the year strong. Maybe that means continuing to connect with colleagues and loved ones so that you have the energy and the reserves that you need to look ahead to all of the wonderful things that are happening for you and for your students, wherever you may be teaching. Maybe you're a classroom teacher and you're looking forward to a number of special classroom events. Maybe you're a school leader and you're looking forward to a number of school events, a number of opportunities for you to get your community together and to rally to end the year strong. This is a time of year as well when energy may be low, expectations and tension may be high. So we get that. We want to make sure that we are here for you and tuning in as part of our Sunday Weekly Warm-Up to help you to get ready for a wonderful week ahead. I wonder how your weekend has been and what you're looking forward to. And Brianne is in the comments. Hi, Brianne. Welcome. Brianne and others who are joining us, let me know how your weekend has been and let me know what you're most looking forward to. Brie, I'm wondering if you have a couple of weeks ahead in the school schedule. And here in Southern Ontario, we have about six or seven weeks, taking us right until the end of June. Thanks, Bree. I think you're the coolest too. Welcome in. We have a wonderful opportunity tonight to connect with one another, to get our week started in the best possible way. And I think what we'll do is we'll dive into some discussion right after this break. We'll be back in 15 seconds or less. Hey, welcome back. It's Brad Hughes from the Teach Better team. Thanks for joining me tonight here in our private Facebook group. You're with the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up. This is our Teach Better opportunity to connect as a Teach Better community, to reflect on the week that was, to look ahead to the week that will be. And I hope you've had a wonderful weekend wherever you are. Our Teach Better family are out and about all over the place. Our good friend Ray Hewitt is on the move this weekend, as well as our good friend Joshua Stamper. Josh and family are also packing up and getting ready to move from Texas to Colorado Springs. I'm staying put here in Southern Ontario, and I wonder if you are anticipating any moves within your school or district. Maybe you are anticipating a move to a different classroom or a different grade level. Maybe you were looking forward to some status quo so that you can repeat your important role, whether it's a second grade classroom or a ninth grade classroom, or maybe you're continuing in your role as a school leader. Let me know in the comments where you are, what your role in education is, and maybe what you're looking forward to in terms of some welcome change, or maybe you're looking forward to just seeing things through the end of the year and looking forward to the summer break ahead. We've been discussing ending the year strong here on Teach Better this month of May, and a number of ideas have come up in terms of ending the year strong, whether you're a classroom teacher, maybe you're a school leader, maybe you're a paraprofessional, whatever your role in education may be, we're often called to end the year strong. And a great conversation earlier this month with both Jeff Gargas and with Joshua Stamper, asking ourselves, what does it mean to you to end the year strong? Expectations may be high at this time, and our energy may be low. And let's face it, the children and the families that we serve have that incredible mixture of both excitement and positive anticipation as things ramp up for the end of the school year. But there may be those among us who are feeling kind of trepidatious around the end of school year, the end of the familiarity of coming together in our classrooms and buildings. And I'm wondering how you are doing and feeling. Welcome in Julie and welcome in Megan. Megan is staying the same content and team, helping more colleagues move towards equitable grading and mastery learning. Fantastic, Megan. And we know that leadership is for everybody. That leadership just exists in every classroom, in every hallway, in every faculty lounge, not just in the head office where our school leaders live and work, but the leadership is all over the place. And it really does take leadership within a community to help things grow and to help things stay motivated and exciting for each and every one of us. I'm wondering if you can just take a moment right now and just reflect on how you are doing and how you are feeling. And a great takeaway from one of our colleagues, one of our Teach Better colleagues, Suzanne Daly, who has the Teach Happier podcast right here on Teach Better Podcast Network. Suzanne asked us to reflect on when we're asking someone, how are you feeling? And I know that often asking someone how they're feeling, we're just sort of quickly moving on to the next thing. So you might say, hi, how are you? I'm fine, how are you? And then you sort of move on to your next important thing. If we want to dig a little bit deeper, we want to ask and just sort of pause and ask not only maybe a second question or follow-up question, but Suzanne Daly asks us to ask a different question altogether. Not how are you feeling, but what are you feeling? What are you feeling? What a difference maker that could be. I wonder if you could just take a moment now, if you're watching along, and pop in the comments, what are you feeling right now? Can you name the feeling or feelings that are coming up for you as you reflect on the week that was, as you anticipate the week ahead? I wonder if you can tell me what you're feeling. And that could be something that you carry forward with you in the week ahead as you connect with your colleagues, your friends at work, your loved ones. Not just how are you feeling, but what are you feeling? Julie, thanks. Yeah, really tired. 100%. And the school year takes a lot out of so much, so many of us. And looking forward to the summer ahead to refresh. And this is the opportunity as well to really take a look back on all that we have accomplished together as individuals and as teams. Take a look at and celebrate the successes within your classroom community, as well as to acknowledge that, oh, we're tired. We've been working hard. We have been giving all that we can. Maybe you're feeling tired. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed. But after getting some fire back this weekend, feeling optimistic, incredible. I wonder if that question, not how are you feeling, but what are you feeling? And just taking a moment to really dig into why might that be? Inviting others to tell you more. I've been reading over the weekend Brené Brown's amazing book, Atlas of the Heart. And we've been coming back again and again to conversations around emotional literacy and around being able to name and share what we're feeling with others. This is a terrific read, Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart. In that book, Brené takes a look at the research. She takes a look at the documentation, and she takes a look at naming over 100 different human emotions, from the core emotions to peripheral emotions that we may need to name in order to be able to understand and in order to be able to communicate. Because, of course, everything that we do is tied back to language. And when we have the language to communicate what we're feeling, how we're feeling, and why, that's an opportunity for us to connect more deeply, more resonantly with those around us. And heck, if we have an opportunity to dig deeper into the language of emotions with the students we serve and with the school communities we serve, what an amazing opportunity not only to peel back the layers and to open those emotional gates to really become more and more empathetic and really feeling along with others. But the language of naming emotions is something that all of us are continuing to grow in. And it's certainly a key skill that our students and our young people need to continue to develop. Julie's wondering why everything since 2020 feels like it takes more and more energy out of us. So that's Megan's wondering. And Julie, thanks. I agree. Things continue to get piled on. And I'm wondering if we can just take a look back at really all that has happened to and with us within the educational space in terms of living through, working through, and recovering through the pandemic that began in March of 2020. So many things fundamentally shifted. So many aspects of our work, of our life, so much access to information, access to loved ones, access to people was interrupted, of course, and then restored gradually, but restored in a way that maybe things just continue to feel kind of off kilter. I know for myself, when I take a look at how kids, their emotional, social, and academic lives have been impacted, and families as well, there's something that has been impacted. I'm not really sure how to put my finger on it, but this is something that Canadian schools and U.S. schools continue to wrestle with, is really getting a pulse on the emotional and social needs of kids who are with us, two, 3 years after the beginning of the pandemic. There still remains much to restore. And what I'm wondering is if there continues to be a lot of community distress in our neighborhoods, in our cities and towns, maybe within our faculties or our districts. So much change, putting the pieces back together after such an interruptive and such a stressful experience as teaching, living, and learning through that pandemic. I wonder, too, if the kids that we're serving have had that. I wonder if the interrupted schooling, the interrupted kind of ebb and flow of the opportunity to connect regularly with peers and with loving adults in the school setting is going to take some additional time to recover and to really find out what it's going to take to get our feet back under us. The pandemic absolutely has changed our stamina. End of the year tired feels different and more intense. And this takes me back to discussions, as I was saying, as I had with Jeff Gargas and with Joshua Stamper on our team, about what it really means to finish the year strong. It may be that finishing the year strong means we lay it all out there. We continue to give and give and give all that we can, all that we feel that we must, in order to bring our school communities, our classrooms across the finish line. However, when we get to that finish line, we might be just more than exhausted. We may have nothing left to give, and we may not have the opportunity as valued members of an educational team and educational community to really enjoy what we are doing along with our kiddos and our colleagues. Bree is looking forward to swim lessons and exciting skills for her kids to develop outside of a classroom setting as well. So Bree, I really want to say fantastic that you're able to find and take the time to connect yourself and your loved ones with opportunities both inside and outside the classroom. It's all part of that blend, as our colleague Lindsay Titus would say, that the blending of opportunities, every moment is yours to seize and to do with what you can, recognizing that there are tremendous stresses on all of us and there's a lot of energy being expended right now. So all that to say, I wonder if ending the year strong could mean something a little bit different for all of us. And if you're watching with us live tonight, I'd love to see in the comments what ending the year strong really means to you. It could be different from what you feel called to do as an educator right now, but ending the year strong could be more than simply expending all we've got to simply get everything done and get across the finish line. It could also be monitoring the energy and monitoring what we're doing, monitoring our output so that we have some reserves left, some gas left in the tank at the end of the school year or as we go along to really just take some moments of breath and take some moments of of pause and take some moments to really reflect on and to really celebrate how far we've come and yet so much that we have yet to do. Hannah's doing all she can to leave school at school to be a mom at home. It has been harder and harder to do, Hannah, and I'm wondering if you or other viewers or listeners can really reflect on why that might be. What has changed? What is changing for you in all of your different roles, whether it's as a parent, as a partner in the family, as a colleague at school or within our districts? What is changing? And it really reminds me of everything that that we have that is within our control and so much that is with outside of our control that can really make us feel really off kilter. There's so much that we want to do and so much we want to accomplish in our households and in our classrooms, but there are many factors outside of our control that we may have influence, but we may not have the ability to control everything that we would. I wonder what finishing the year strong could mean to you if you gave yourself permission to advocate for what you feel and what you need. I wonder if ending the year strong could be about just being honest and open and transparent with the kids that you serve, that we're in it together and we're going to continue to monitor our emotions and to monitor our needs to make sure that we are all getting across the finish line strong. I wonder if finishing the year strong could also mean you reaching out to colleagues to let them know when you are really, really looking for a chance to tap in or to tap out. This is an opportunity for us as colleagues to continue to look out for each other, to really serve each other. And Brené Brown, in that book, The Atlas of the Heart, that I was talking about, described two situations in her life as a server in a restaurant. I can't exactly remember what term she said, but it had to do with anxiety, stress, and overwhelm. And in one case, Brené would go back to the kitchen and she would give a code word. And that would mean that she needed 15 minutes or she, like any of her colleagues, needed 15 minutes to themselves. And her colleagues rallied around to take care of tables, to take care of orders, to make sure that they just had a moment to decompress. After 15 minutes, it was back on the go. But just an opportunity for you to tap out and to seek help to come in to give yourself an opportunity to restore. And there was another code word that Brené used in her life as a restaurant server that just means that she was totally exhausted, totally like nothing left to give. Everything was expended. And that was sort of an all hands on deck situation. I wonder if you found yourself or are finding yourself in either of those situations right now, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's balancing and blending everything that you need to, where, gosh, you could just use 15 minutes for another person to take the lead, or you could just say, hey, I've got nothing left in the tank. And what happens when that comes up for you, whether it's at home or at work? And Julie, it is really, really hard this year. I wonder if we can set ourselves some goals to make ending the year strong be about something that is more than simply expending all that we have. I wonder if there's an opportunity for us to work with our colleagues and to work with our school leaders to really identify now or on reflection as we get going with the school year for next year to find out what would it take for all of us to look after each other to the point where we have enough energy at the end. It is, Julie's noticing that it would be challenging to have folks to spell off one another. Absolutely. And I wonder if that's an opportunity where school leaders or perhaps school volunteers that are within the building could be tasked to just do a drop in and a tap out. This is something that our friend Dr. Dave Schmidl advocates, is for school leaders to really keep an eye on and keep an eye out for those wonderful educators that we serve, and to not only just to invite staff members to take a few moments to themselves, but also to advocate to step up and to step in when that time is needed. Hannah has said no to a number of leadership opportunities, and self-care, looking after yourself, is key. There are learning opportunities no matter what we do, and I really admire, Hannah, you taking time to be really discerning and to curate the opportunities that are going to make the biggest difference for you. We all know that we can't pour from an empty cup. The reality is, though, that we continue as educators to be asked to do more and more. And because we're givers, because we're carers, because we're servers, we absolutely want to make sure that we're doing all we can, because, hey, we serve kids and families, and this incredible responsibility and incredible opportunity in that as well. It's that self-care piece that can be so hard, especially at this time of year, as there are maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks left in the school year. And as educators, we often feel a tremendous responsibility and even pressure to look after ourselves. And what I'm advocating for, and what I hope that is resonating with you, is within our school communities, learning to look after one another. Let's face it, if we're asked to care for ourselves at busy times, it could turn out to be just one more thing that we're not doing well. And no one needs that. So as school leaders or as teacher leaders or as colleagues, I wonder what it would take as we finish the year strong to really make a commitment to, yes, care for ourselves, to name what we're feeling, what's coming up for us, and to really ask for what we need when there's a mismatch between what's happening and what we need. But as Julie said, learning to do that more comfortably, learning to be comfortable with asking for help, learning to be comfortable as school leaders to notice when there is time, space, and support that's needed. And that means that that we are, you know, growing the community care, not simply self-care, not simply teacher, educator, look after yourself. Remember to rest and to breathe and to do yoga and to eat and to sleep and all of those things. Gosh, we would do them better if we could. We're simply, you know, it's really helpful to think that we're all doing the very best that we can and the very best that we know. But I wonder what it would take to shift the conversation from self-care to community care. Maybe that could be part of how we end the year strong. Let me know what's coming up for you in the comments. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back with some teachable moments for the week ahead. Stay with us. Hey, welcome back. It's Brad Hughes here with you live. Sunday weekly warm-up time. This is our opportunity for us to connect as a Teach Better community and family, to reflect on the week that was, to look ahead to the week that's coming up. We're streaming exclusively in our Facebook group at teachbettergroup.com. We're so glad that you're joining us tonight. And coming up tomorrow in 24 hours time, this broadcast will be part of our Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and probably it's going out into outer space, and probably in many, many years to come, there are going to be space visitors that are going to be listening and watching along and making sure that we are seen and heard. And Megan says being seen and heard is so helpful. Hearing I appreciate you goes a long way when I'm tired or busy. And Megan, Jeff Gargas and I on the Wednesday Wake Up had an incredible conversation about that commitment to appreciation, because as we reflect on Teacher Appreciation Week or an Education Week here in Ontario, appreciation is the name of the game. It's really topical right now. And Jeff and I agreed, and I wonder if you do too, that it's risky to save all of the appreciation for 1 week. Making appreciation part of your daily routine and making sure that it's specific and that it's sincere is really an important part of getting connected and staying connected. It's really great, Julie, that your AP is doing that a lot. And it's important that school leaders are not only expressing appreciation for what's happening, but getting specific about the difference that it makes to the community. I wonder if there are those that are watching and listening tonight. I wonder if you could let me know what helps you to feel appreciated. Brianne, it's for music. So Brianne's music can really uplift her mood. I wonder what's coming up for you in terms of what makes you feel appreciated. Maybe it's a comforting word. Maybe it is a small gift or a snack. Maybe it's time that you can, maybe it's time that you can take to rest, to restore. And maybe it's just an opportunity to work together as a team. The love languages come up for me when I think about the different ways that I feel and that I can express appreciation to others. Sometimes it's service, sometimes it's gifts, sometimes it's time. One gift for me is surprise. I love sharing an element of surprise with others. I look for every opportunity to lift others up, to brighten a day or to lighten a load. And I wonder here at this time, if you had a wish for the week ahead, I wonder how or what would lighten your load or brighten your mood. If you were to walk in tomorrow, I wonder what a colleague could do or say for you or to you to help you feel that lift that you need. And if you can identify what that might be, one challenge is to put that out there. jokes. Thanks, Brianne. Class playlist would help to keep. Thank you, Hannah. Class playlist keeping us pumped. And Julie, there's no question that the power of the handwritten note is key. Darren Peppard, one of our Teach Better podcasters, as well as author and consultant and school leader from Road to Awesome, in his recent podcast was advocating for 5 different ways that the school community could honor teachers. And one was simply the power of the handwritten note. Handwritten notes from teachers to students as well. I wonder if you're in the habit of leaving a post-it note or maybe even using a dry erase board marker on a desk to welcome kids in. I would love to see and hear in the comments the kind of things that you're doing to express appreciation, not simply within a week for Teacher Appreciation Week, but on a daily and an ongoing basis. Megan is pulling into work with the volume all the way up. And I would love if you could, in your comments, what's on your playlist? If you were, if you're pulling up and what's on your playlist? I had a colleague many years ago who had Livin' La Vida Loca turned up to volume 11 on her way into work. And you could even hear the music pumping as she pulled up and unloaded her materials as she started the school year. Started the school day. It was really, really inspiring. So maybe it's Livin' La Vida Loca. Maybe you've got some AC/DC or some Coldplay. Maybe it's some Rihanna or J-Lo. I wonder what's coming up for you in terms of your playlist. And maybe a Teach Better custom playlist might be in the offer if we have enough of the list coming up. Appreciation notes from Bree and a hot cup of coffee from Josh. Incredible. It's wonderful to know what our favorite beverages might be, whether they're hot or cold. And that's again, that power of surprise, that power of surprising someone with a just right beverage is really incredible. And it's the small things that can really make a difference. One tradition that I'm excited to share with you is my tradition of putting on a hot pot of coffee for our staff members every morning when I arrive at school. Of course, my brain is going a mile a minute as I pull up to the school building. And so I find that the opportunity to get a pot of coffee set up for our staff, well, does a number of things. One is it fills the building with a wonderful aroma of hot coffee, which can be really appealing for folks who are arriving, especially on an early morning. It really helps me dig into service and to communicate to my staff members that I'm here for you, I'm here with you, and just a little bit of tender, loving care, even if it's a hot cup of coffee or tea if the kettle's on. The last thing it does is it really helps me to get into a morning routine. So whatever your morning routine might be, when I arrive at school, typically I'll unlock the office, I'll turn lights on, I'll head to the staff room, and on goes that pot of coffee and on goes that kettle. And then I'll move to the whiteboard while the coffee is brewing and get the morning announcements up on the whiteboard. But no matter what I might be thinking or feeling at the beginning of the day, whatever residual energy, whether it's positive or negative, I might be bringing into the school building, really it's pouring and getting that pot of coffee ready that really helps recenter me and refocus me on what the day ahead might bring. It's also that time of day when the coffee's brewing and people are bringing in their mugs. That's the time in our staff room, in our faculty lounge, that gives me the opportunity to really meet and greet those that are coming in and just to take a pulse. What are you feeling today? How can I help? And that's something that we want to keep going throughout our school buildings, no matter what our important role may be, is looking out for what do you need and how can I help? And it's also giving ourselves permission to ask the same for others. Coffee is an important support for Julie. Musicals for Hannah. Positive parent phone calls and chats. Incredible. I want to make sure that you know how much you are appreciated in this space and recognizing that as we look ahead to our week, as we look ahead to our important week in education, whether you have a couple of weeks left or whether you have a number of weeks to go before the end of the school year, this is your opportunity, if you can take it, to pause and celebrate how much you've accomplished together as a school community, how far you've come as an individual educator, and how far your team has come. It is really an important opportunity, not only to celebrate individual accomplishments, maybe it's a high average, or maybe it's a basketball championship, or maybe it's an individual achievement, but really shifting the conversation from individual to community achievements, I think, is so important, especially as we look to infuse our school communities with greater equity, inclusion, and diversity of representation. Taking a moment to reflect, either as an individual, as a class, or as a whole faculty, how far we have come as a learning community. Do a gap analysis. take a look at what your goals may have been at the beginning of the semester and see how far you've come, and take an opportunity to celebrate. Every role in our classrooms and every role in our buildings adds value. No matter what your important role in education may be, no matter if you're a first grader or a 12th grader, every interaction and every person in that space adds value. Now is the time to take a look back and say, what value was added for me? What value was added for you? And what value was added for each other? This is an incredible opportunity to reflect on how far not only individuals have come and not only what individuals achieve, but also what a school community and a school group has achieved too. It's incredible. We look forward to a wonderful week ahead in education, and we look forward to a wonderful way to wrap up the school year. Be right back. Hey, good evening, everyone. We are about to wrap up the Sunday weekly warm-up. It is Sunday, May the 14th. It's Brad Hughes here with you in our exclusive Teach Better group on Facebook, streaming live with incredible commenters with us. And thank you, Megan. Great suggestions. And I really love to make sure that we have an opportunity to celebrate your incredible work that we are doing. Julie's reflecting on the incredible growth that comes through adversity. And Julie, you're absolutely right. And when we think of sort of the worst things that can and do happen to us, it's sometimes only on reflection that we realize how much we have grown, not simply survive, but as we are moving to learning through practice. And, you know, it's not win or lose, it's win or learn. And we are able to reflect in better times when we have the capacity and we have the energy and the space, of course, to reflect on how much we have learned and how much we have come together. Coffee is always a great suggestion, and Brianne is roasting me here in the comments with cool beans. I think you're cool beans, Bri. Thanks so much. And Hannah's reflecting on testing, and parents do love to hear how their child is growing. And that is part of my take action encouragement for you as you look ahead to this week is, first of all, give yourself permission to breathe and give yourself permission to ask for the help you need. Give yourself permission to let others know what's coming up for you as you look ahead to this week and as you look ahead to the weeks to come as we wrap up the school year. Number two is, I wonder if making ending the year strong could include managing our energy and helping to care for each other so we're not all ending the year at the finish line exhausted, too exhausted to really reflect on or to celebrate the growth that we've done. The third invitation to you this week is to celebrate and let others know how much they are appreciated. Not just what you appreciate, but also try to get specific and dig a little bit deeper. Try to get into what their contributions mean for you and what they mean to the school community. Make that language of appreciation in just an ongoing part of your week this week. Leverage the science of gratitude to know that the more gratitude that we convey, the more connections we make, and the more others may be inspired to do the same. And the last invitation for you as you look ahead to the week is to celebrate the growth. Celebrate the growth that you have made as an educator. Celebrate the growth that you've been able to engender in your classroom spaces, in your educational spaces, as well as keep a lookout for how to celebrate the growth that our school communities are making. Not simply individual achievements, but also our classes, our small groups, our grades, and our whole faculties. How have you grown? And how do you know? Let's celebrate the growth that we've had this school year as we look ahead to our week in education. I've been really pleased to kick off the week with you here. Thank you so much for joining me here in the comments. And I want to wish you a wonderful week ahead. Please make sure that you are in touch with us at Teach Better if we can support your work in any way. My Twitter handle is right there, @Brad_Hughes. I would love to hear from you. And please make sure that you look out for yourself, look after each other, and make sure that Teach Better is a part of your community each and every day. Have a wonderful week ahead, everyone.